Jerusalem, here I am. Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
WIOX is supported by the following community underwriters. 1053 Main Street Gallery and Fleischmann's, designed as a space to support a vibrant and active artistic community nestled in the Catskill Mountains. 1053 Main Street Gallery presents Falling Forward, a solo exhibition of paintings by artist Gary Mayer, on view through Sunday, February 13th. Information about the gallery and upcoming exhibitions at 1053maingallery.com. Home Goods of Margaretville, corner of Main and Bridge Streets in Margaretville, New York. Now carrying spices, flour, jams, mustards, coffee and tea, organic vegetables and fruits, and local eggs, milk, cheese, and baked goods. And, of course, cooking basics and tools of the trade for everyone at home. Home Goods of Margaretville. Open every day. 845-586-4177 or hgom.net. The Fierce Grizzly, a Roxbury eatery on the corner of Vega Mountain Road and Main Street, serving breakfast and lunch 6 days a week and dinner on Friday and Saturday evenings. Closed Thursdays. Reservation suggested 845-901-2351, 845-901-2351, or thefiercegrizzly.com.
Hey, I'm Rob. Indie? Alternative? Whatever you want to call it, you'll hear the best of what's new, breaking, and emerging from all walks on Peak Awareness. Every Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. on WIOX Roxbury. Serving New York's Catskills region at 91.3 FM, MTC Cable Channel 20, the Radio FM app, and worldwide at WIOXradio.org.
You are listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20, and at 107.5 FM on the campus of SUNY Delhi on smart devices through the Radio FM app, and everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
Oh, things are all right. You?
All right. What have you been up to?
I took my Christmas tree down.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Haven't burned it yet.
Mine's burned. It's gone.
Gone?
The ashes.
Yeah, and how many seconds this year did it take?
Well, it got wet. And actually, it did not do what it normally does. When you strike a match to it, it just goes up like a flame. So, yeah, I didn't get to see that. But
darn.
I burned it New Year's Eve.
Cool.
Whole pile of stuff.
Yeah, mine's out in the pile, so haven't torched it yet.
Pruned some of my large sugar maple trees in the yard, so I had a lot of brush this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, trying to structurally improve them, experiment, you know.
And what does that entail? What do you do?
Establish a central leader. Open-grown maple trees especially, they're always prone to having co-dominant leaders.
Yeah.
And those are susceptible to cracking and splitting over time. So if you can get to them when they're younger, and these are really medium-sized trees, you know, 60 feet tops, 50 feet tall trees, the better. So that's what I was doing.
Cool.
Yeah, doing it gradually. Some of them got some pretty good co-dominant leaders. Hmm. And then the forest behind it was pushing them into the yard for sunlight, so those trees had to be removed over time. So.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, a lot of white ash. Dead. But, yeah.
Other than that, I've been doing firewood, and I think that's tonight's show, right?
That's tonight's topic, all about firewood. We talk about firewood usually once a year. I usually do most of my firewood in the spring, after the season, but I've been doing it myself, too.
Yeah. I did some this morning, just 15, 20 minutes.
For this morning?
Yeah, I had a consultation for a CFA member, Catskill Forest Association member.
Yeah.
Not far from my house, and they didn't want to meet until 9 o'clock, so I had a little bit of time. I said, you know what? I'm going to go outside and split some firewood.
Splitting it? You got a splitter?
Oh, the Armstrong 1993.
Oh, sweet, man. I got the Armstrong 81.
Ooh.
It's still going well.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like hand splitting, you know, because I can put on my radio or... I guess you could do your streaming. What do you listen to, anything?
Yeah, you know, I listen to podcasts sometimes. Yeah. Or just have my own time. Sometimes I don't.
You have some John time?
Yeah, it's quiet time for me.
Reflect.
Well, like I said, I'll get into it, but I don't like to have big sessions of firewood. I just try to proactively do it throughout the year, and we'll talk about that. But
I think 1 to 2 hours is all I do at a time.
Even that for me, it's getting up there. You know, if I do it an hour's worth of wood, that was a lot for me.
Yeah.
So this morning was about 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
And at that point, it's like, why bother even getting the music out and the tunes? It's over, right?
I know. Yeah, 2 hours is too much, especially on injuries that can occur on the Armstrong are golfer's elbow, which is on the inside of your elbow. Tennis elbow's on the outside.
Uh-huh. Different tendons, right?
Yeah, and these are things I've learned by just overdoing it. Not things like I was proactive about and was smart, but if your tendency when you're splitting wood is to pound the axe into there, right?
Yeah.
Same thing when you're pounding a wedge into a tree to fell it over. You know, they say pound the wedge. Really, you shouldn't pound the wedge. You throw the axe into the wedge if you're lifting up a tree to fell it over.
Mm-hmm.
If I had known that, my elbow would probably wouldn't be as bad as it is today. Although it's pretty good right now. But so same thing with splitting wood. You don't pound the axe into the round. You throw it. You know, you use one arm, your weaker arm, to kind of like rotate your wrist on the bottom side,
mm-hmm.
and the top part just to throw the head of the axe.
Yeah, at the last whatever 15, 20 degrees is mostly wrist.
Yeah, you're
slapping it right on top of that and gains a lot of momentum right there.
Absolutely. You know, I first got into firewood in 2007. It was an older gentleman, Bob, you know who he is. And he split a lot of wood by hand, but God bless him. He used what locals around here call a go devil.
Yeah.
A big red thing that is huge. I'm just not strong enough to lift that thing up. That thing's too big. I can't split wood with that.
They're 8 to 10 pounds, depending on which one you got.
Yeah, no, forget that.
That's what my father gave me when he said, go in the back, start splitting wood. When
it's
I was
crazy.
Like 12 or 14 and wanted to go do that stuff.
It's totally unnecessary, I think. So back in 2009 or 10, there was a forester that unfortunately passed away, and we donated some time, a bunch of foresters, to split some wood for his family, right? And one of the other foresters had this snazzy-looking Swedish-made large splitting axe.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, look at this thing. Look at you, man. This looks fancy. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I like it. And I'm like, well, how much you pay for that thing? He's like, $100. I'm like, $100? You spent $100 on a large splitting axe? That's crazy. He's like, listen, why don't you just use it and see? You know? I was like, all right. Dude, thing's so comfortable.
Yeah.
It's just perfectly balanced. It's a Grand Force Brooks. You can try to buy one, but they're sold out today. That was $100. That same axe is almost $200 today.
I was going to say, they're not $100 now. I'd pay $100 in a heartbeat for that right now.
Oh, it's amazing. I've never replaced the handle on that, and I use it every year to split 5 to 10 cords. I still haven't replaced the handle on that. The large splitting maul is what takes the brunt of the abuse. I've replaced the handle on that once. That's what you use to pound the wedge in. And they're awesome. That thing is over $200 now.
Wow.
And the wedge is $115 as of last night and sold out. Can't find it. Crazy.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, things have gone up. But in any case, it's nice. You know, you can put your tunes on or whatever. It's not loud. If the axe is sharp but not too sharp and the pieces are not gnarly, I feel like hand splitting is just as fast, if not better, on your back because you still have to lift pieces up for a hydraulic.
Yeah.
And if you have a vertical one, you have to roll it around. If it's big, I don't roll it around. I just leave it where it is, split it up, then move it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and obviously, if you're splitting wood, don't do it on the ground. Put it on a cookie or something, another piece of wood. And that helps tremendously because of impact, right? You get more power when you're splitting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that.
But the ground absorbs it.
I was going to say the ground absorbs a lot. If you even just work on one spot and not use that cookie,
yeah.
By the end of the day, that spot's divoted in inches.
Yeah. Plus, you're just dulling. You're going to eventually dull your axe.
Oh yeah.
All the time doing that. I used to do that. These are things I used to do. I would just to be really fast. I'd turn all the blocks. Right, and then walk around splitting them all. Well, my axe was a piece of garbage after that. You know what I mean? It went fast, but it just doesn't work in the long run.
Yeah.
But what happens is, too, if you're splitting in an area, you've probably seen this, right? And you end up creating like a dome around yourself so that the wood's not flying all over the place.
Yeah.
So then it stays right there. And eventually your beehive is so full you have to move to a different area.
The first few of the day, they go flying 4 or 5 feet and hit things. But after 3 or 4 blocks, they start piling up. And you're right. You get a little dome around you.
Absolutely. I think the something else besides pounding the axe, not to do that, to save your elbow, is picking trees. We're going to talk about this tonight. But I used to get gnarly trees. Oh, I'll get a big 20-inch round and I'll split that up. Now I look for trees that are 8 inches to 14 inches in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
You can go so much faster than you'll ever be able to go with bigger wood if you're hand splitting especially.
Yep. I had it down. I was selling firewood for a little while, and I had it down. That size tree, 8 to 12 inches in diameter, 8 to 14, that at that point they're about 45 to 60 feet tall.
Yeah.
Usually pole size, oftentimes red maple. It was, I would 8 to 12 of those per cord, depending on their diameter and height. And I could have them go from standing trees to on the truck ready for delivery in 3 hours.
That's amazing.
I had it down.
That's awesome.
But only because of those trees. If you start getting those big gnarly things, you're done. It could take 4 or 5 hours.
Red maple is great. It seasons in one year. It's not the densest, but for making firewood fast, and it doesn't absorb moisture like other trees sometimes if they're not covered perfectly.
Yeah.
I like red maple, yeah.
I love it. You've turned me on to the Renner's wood.
Yeah, Renner's wood. You don't know where you're going to be the next year.
Yeah, exactly. If your lease is only for a year, you don't want to move your firewood with you. If you don't have to.
Yeah.
And
I did.
Red maple is seasoned quick enough where you can cut it and burn it 1 year.
God, what an idiot. I moved all my wood when I moved. I mean, how cheap can you be? And stupid, though, because it probably cost my truck a lot. A lot of lost life. I moved it from Margaretville to Town of Olive, and it's the southern end of the Town of Olive. It's not like you get to Boyceville and you're done. I got to go around the mountain. I'm not losing this nice oak and sugar maple in here. I can't, you know, let this wood go to waste. But
yeah, I mean, you got 2 to 3 years into some of this, and all that time, and you're like, I don't want to lose all that.
I know, yeah, but I did it. It was not wise. These are things you learn. But yeah, so tonight's topic is all about firewood. So firewood management, why burn? Why even do wood? As an older gentleman said to me years ago, firewood is a way of life.
Yeah.
It's not something that really ever you complete. Although you feel like you're done sometimes. Like I feel like I'm done right now, but there's always firewood around somewhere, hovering, that you're dealing with at some point.
I just acquired more today that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and even when you're, okay, so you're done cutting wood maybe, but you're dealing with ashes, right? I mean, it's just something you're constantly going to do, and you either love it or embrace it or you'll hate it, you know? If you think of it just for money, I just wouldn't do it if it was just for money. I feel like it's something that keeps me healthier than I would normally be.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut the right tree, it can be good for the forest. We'll talk about that. And I love the heat. I like a wood stove. I'm a wood stove guy. I don't really care for furnaces because I might as well burn oil at that point if I got to use a furnace. If I'm going to get heat from a boiler system, forget it. You know, I want to feel that heat emanating from the wood stove. That's what I want. You know, but I understand the wood boiler thing. I mean, it's still cool. You're still using your, you know, wood to heat your home through the radiators and stuff. But I like that raw heat coming off the stove.
There's nothing better, especially on a day like yesterday when, what was it, in the teens waking up, and it didn't get much better than that all day. Yeah. Walking into your house and it being, you know, almost 80 degrees and radiating heat.
Yeah.
Put your boots by it and they dry overnight. And
things dry. People talk about dust and particulates. Nonsense. All right? Come on. Yeah, everything has a cost and a risk. But what about all the benefits of being active and stuff and moving around? You know what I mean? That has something too. You know, unless you take your arm off the chainsaw, then it's like, I digress. I'm wrong. Okay, then you screwed up. But
rare incident.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. But it keeps you active. You have to weigh those health benefits versus any risk or toxicity from particulates and stuff. And to be honest, the new wood stoves are so much more efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get any, very rarely get wood smoke coming into the house. If I do, it's because there's not a draft. You open a window, it lets in oxygen, it's drafting just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not, it's dirty. Your flue is dirty, you know?
Right. That's easily remedied.
Yeah.
Let it go out, clean your chimney.
But so rising heating costs are a reason to burn. They're rising again. There was a time period where back in 2008 and 2009 it was terrible and everyone was wanting to burn wood. We would have people stop at the Catskill Forest Association's office to they wanted to develop pellet plants in the area. That's how high fuel costs were back then. I guess those days might be coming back. Who knows? Self-sufficiency. There's still some. Hey, you know, you want to provide your own heat. Same reason why you might hunt or make maple syrup, because it's just a cool thing to do. Other forest management goals. Forest stand improvement or timber stand improvement. Maybe you have a tree that produces fruits or nuts. Giving it more sunlight is going to help it. So firewood can be a reason to open up that nice tree you want to foster and enhance, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Well, I'm just thinking. I walked onto a Catskill Forest Association member's property. It's probably 3 years ago. And he's showing me around. And, I mean, it was an old farmer. It was gorgeous woodlot, just beautiful trees. And he's like, I don't know anything about forestry. You can tell me. I was like, it looks like you've been doing a pretty good job. He goes, I don't know. I just cut firewood.
Yeah.
He just cuts what looks, you know, like it's dead, dying, or shouldn't be there, and cuts it for firewood, and now he's got a beautiful saw timber lot.
Right, because a true firewood tree is not the nicer tree, usually. For example, like you just said, like if they're all the same height in your woodlot or your forest, they're all the same age usually, right? So if you have a stand of red maple, sugar maple, they're all the same height, they're probably the same age. But notice their diameters are different. We've talked about this before. So we talked about how firewood's easier for taking pole-sized trees. If you're taking the smaller diameter trees out that have the smaller crowns, little Q-tips, you're taking out the suppressed trees anyway, and you're enhancing those better, larger trees, which have bigger crowns. And so it sounds like your farming guy there was doing just that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he got to see the results of it over 50 years of his lifetime there, right?
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, look at those forests we're talking about. If it's pole size and there's a lot of densely packed trees, you got to imagine that forest 50 years from now. Those trees get bigger. Those trees need more space. You walk into a forest of big old trees, there's not that many per acre. What happened? Well, the trees that were densely packed, they either died or got cut or whatever, but they're not there anymore. So you can just use your human hands to predict
right.
the ones that are going to die anyway.
You're just acting as a catalyst and just speed it along.
Exactly.
How cool is forestry where you're thinking 50 years from now? What other things can you say does that?
Yeah, maybe we should be thinking maybe 50 is a short term.
Hey, but you are. You are doing that when you're cutting trees. You're looking 50 years. You're looking at least 10, 20 years.
At least, yep.
You know? I mean, these are crazy things. You know, you take it for granted maybe, John, but people aren't looking 20 years down the line.
No, a lot of people aren't.
Anyway, price of fuel is another reason. I did update these numbers. Each year, sometimes I don't, but I did do it this time. So the U.S. Energy Information Administration, they put out some numbers. Heating oil. New York State is the number one oil-consuming state in the union. Per capita, it's not, but overall it is, okay. If that makes sense. The average total gallons is 718 gallons, I guess, is what a family uses to heat their home. Does that make sense?
Two tanks or so.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. Whatever.
Two tanks? Yeah, I guess so, right?
Right.
Three tanks,
right.
Average per gallon is right now in the Northeast is $3.54. The average total cost is about $16.80. I don't know. Probably more than that. Seems low, doesn't it? It's not bad. But every year, $1,600. Bam.
Okay.
You know?
It's like a small tax bill.
Yeah, man. Hey, over 10 years, let's say it's $2,000. You know, that's $20,000. It's almost truck, John.
Yep.
It's almost truck.
We're struck with the last 10 years.
Because they could. Isn't that a country song?
Can they?
Yeah. Because they would.
That's
it's Merle Haggard, man.
Merle, yeah. It's, you probably have it teed up here.
I have it somewhere. You know I do.
Are the good times over for good? That's the one.
That's right.
Okay, got
push it. A truck could last 10 years because it could, or it would. I don't know. Whatever he says. They're not talking about trucks. They're usually talking about puppy dogs.
Those old country songs. Yeah,
he's talking about puppy dogs. they like their puppies. So wood is about 180. Okay, this is wrong. You're not finding a cord of firewood for $180. I think it's more like $225 now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think the friends and family price is now $200.
When
$165 or $180 was always the friends and family price.
Why you got to say that? Now some guy's like, man, I am not that guy's friend. He just charged me $250.
Well, I don't know. You got to make better life choices.
Hey, God bless anyone who does firewood for $250. You know, hey, this is tough work, man. $250 for a quart of wood, I think, is not a bad deal.
Nope.
All right? The amount of work that goes into it, you know, I think you're getting something good. Anyway.
I think he should be paid $300, honestly. I mean.
Hell yeah.
Like I said, it took me 3 hours, cut, split, stacked on the truck. But that's not counting cost. That's not counting. I mean, $100? Come on. That truck wore out in how many years? You gotta get more money.
3 hours and pay someone $250? No one comes to my house and I pay him that little.
No way.
Every time there's a problem at the house, it's like, all right, this is going to cost me a lot of money. Yeah, and the guy will probably be there like an hour.
It's always $400 or more.
Yeah. Always. Anything goes wrong with the truck, it's like $600 somehow every time. So average total cost for oil in the Catskills. Okay, so I had this wrong. I guess this average total cost is New York State. But in the Catskills, the average total cost for oil is $2,500. That seems more right.
Yeah.
Accurate for the Catskills. So $2,500 people are spending to heat their homes on average. You know, this is probably for like a 1,500 square foot house, plus or minus, somewhere in there. So average. If you got a bigger house than that,
good luck.
You're spending a lot. Average total cost for wood in the Catskills, it's about less than half of that, $1,125. If you're charging $250 per cord, and you're burning about 4.5 cords is how I did that.
So math works out to even not do your own wood still, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What are we doing?
I mean, you know, I got so much wood, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You know? Whatever. I got a lot of nice red oak this year.
Yeah?
Yeah, pole woods. I wasn't taking down nice red oak because I like red oak. But red oak's the most underrated firewood there is. I mean, beech is good, but red oak always splits. I mean, if it wants to split, green, cold, frozen, doesn't matter.
And it cuts so nice with a chainsaw. It smells really nice when you're cutting it.
It smells nice. When you're doing your notch, it's just perfect all the time. You know, the two curves come together like butter.
Yeah, it has a. When the chips come out of the saw, they're different. They're flaky. They want to fall apart. It's like they're cut so finely, so easily.
Yeah, should write a country song about cutting red oak.
Cutting red oak. Not many people would understand, this song is to resonate with.
Yeah, we got to move past puppy dogs and trucks and thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Trains.
Mamas.
Red oak.
Red oak.
Firewood. Anyway, southerners don't cut much wood. It's too warm down there. I was just there.
Yeah, they don't.
It's warm as hell. Man, it was almost 90 degrees in Florida. That's Florida. It's like a different world, but South Carolina, North Carolina, it was in the 60s. It was like 25 degrees back here. You know?
Yep.
It was 12 degrees at my house Tuesday morning. 12. I mean, it is January. I'm not shocked or anything. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But anyway. Hidden costs. Your labor. Cutting. Splitting. Stacking. Danger in felling trees. This is the most riskiest profession. On land is cutting trees down. So that is for professionals. I don't know what it is if you include homeowners.
Right.
Because I don't think we have that data. You know?
I've never seen it. But yeah, you could imagine that it's a lot more dangerous then, right?
No, how many people have you talked to who have cut their leg open?
I could think of one right now, real fast.
I could think of several.
Well, I mean, if I thought harder, I'd think of more. But yeah, one jumped into my mind.
Now, I know people who are no longer around. I mean, it is a dangerous thing. So that is definitely a maybe not so hidden cost. So hidden benefits. Well, I have a quote here. Look at this: a long straight row of firewood in the yard in springtime is like money in the bank. I don't know. It's not worth that much, but it's worth something to me. To me, firewood is a savings. It's a savings. I could probably make more money in an hour doing something else, but it saved me money, you know?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Save.
Like, I probably wouldn't. I mean, I guess I could have earned money working and, you know, more with that hour of firewood, but I probably wouldn't have worked anyway. But, again, it's good exercise, and it saves me pretty much the same amount as my property tax bill each year. That's the way I look at it.
Plus a gym membership.
Plus many gym memberships.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, plus it's funny when you backing up wood into the yard and your wife is staring at you from the window like, he really has brought back more wood.
He did it again.
I mean, that's priceless.
I'm like a little wood rat. I've got my wood for 2 and 3 years from now. It's all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It's on multiple properties right now.
You're like a squirrel stashing away walnuts.
Yeah, I am like a little squirrel. So when my wood comes back home, it's in final form and backing in and ready to be stacked for next year. But it's been seasoned for two.
You talk like maybe you go to woodlots and cut the right tree, but I'm thinking you're a pirate. A wood pirate.
A wood pirate.
There's a lot of wood pirates around.
I'm not a side of the road wood bandit. You'll never see me there.
Oh, yeah. Skull and crossbones, you know. Freaking down tree and they are on it, you know.
I've just got wood in different area codes, right?
Just leaving behind white pine and aspen all over the place, you know, scrounging for the sugar maple and the red maple.
Nah, I said it last year. I don't know. People listen to this show because they catch little comments, right? I've heard twice now. People have asked me about my. I guess last year I stated I hate burning ash, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I did say that. I remember saying
that. I said it too.
But I've been, you know, asked about that a few times now. So,
oh, yeah.
So all you listening, thank you for listening. Let me explain that. So you don't think ash is the worst wood in the world.
You have an asterisk next to it, huh?
I looked at my firewood pile, and it was about 98% ash this year. I'm burning 98% ash right now.
Oh, man.
I found a piece of cherry the other day. I was like, oh, my gosh, cherry.
Yeah.
So I vowed on that show that I was not going to focus on ash. If it came to me, sure, but I will not focus on ash this year. So right now I'm working on American beech, sugar maple, red maple, black cherry. I've got a diversity of wood coming to me right now.
I know. I drove to Cragsmore, about a half hour from my house, to get red oak.
I was
so tired. And people say, oh, man, you're driving stuff. Well, you know, it's this guy's woodlot, and he's really been managing it for decades. So it was kind of like I was going to help out his woods, plus I hunt there. So to me it was you know, the fair thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Improve the forest while taking some firewood. So, yeah, no, I wanted out of the ash monopoly. Wanted to diversify.
I mean, ash has just been too easy to come by with emerald ash borer, killing it all, and there's still more out there, but sorry, ash.
Yeah.
I'm passing you this year, maybe next year.
That's right. So, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is all about firewood. What do we got here? Here we go.
I guess I should have written that to let you know that I was coming home. I've been gone so many years, I didn't realize you had a phone. I saw your cattle coming in. Boy, they're looking mighty fat and slick. I saw Fred at the service station, told me that his wife was awful sick. You heard my record on the radio. Oh, well, it's just another song. But I've got a hit recorded, and it'll be out on the market for too long. I got this ring in Mexico, and no, didn't cost me quite a bunch. When you're in the business that I'm in, the people call it putting up front. I know I've lost a little weight, and I guess I am looking kind of pale. If you didn't know me better, Dad, you'd think that I'd just gotten out of jail. No, we don't ever call them beer joints. Nightclubs are the places where I work. You meet a lot of people there, but no, there ain't no chance of getting hurt. I'm sorry that I couldn't be here with you all when Mama passed away. I was on the road, and when they came and told me, it was just too late. I drove by the grave to see her, boy, that really is a pretty stone. I'm glad that Fred and Jan are here, it's better than you being here alone. Well, I knew you was gonna ask me who the lady is that's sleeping in the car. That's just a girl that works for me, and man, she plays a pretty mean guitar. We worked in San Antonio last night. She didn't even have the time to dress. She drove me down from Nashville, and to tell the truth, I guess she needs the rest. Well, Dad, I gotta go. We gotta dance to work in Cartersville tonight. Let me take your number down. I'll call you, and I promise you I'll write. Now you be good, don't be chasing all those pretty women that you know. And by the way, if you see Barbara Walker, tell her that I said hello.
All right, This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., talking all about firewood. That was Tom Hall, Homecoming. And firewood. So, getting your own firewood. We're a bunch of snobs here in the Northeast, especially in the Catskills, because we have so many good trees to use for firewood that they don't have in much colder areas.
No, I know. I've traveled to Canada, and they burn white birch.
Oh, those poor people. Terrible. White birch.
Northern Canada. It was like 9 hours north of the border, and they were burning white birch up there.
It gets down like negative 40 up there. Imagine burning white birch to stay warm.
Oh, you're going to burn a lot. Their firewood piles were huge.
I guess a lot of them have natural gas, but if you don't have natural gas or access to fuel oil, man, you're burning a lot of wood.
Darn.
Oh, well. But anyway, we got so many trees, we don't burn no stinking white birch.
No.
Or white pine or balsam fir. You can burn any softwood, too. I mean, hey, Alaska, sometimes that's all they burn if it's dry. Otherwise, it could probably mess up your chimney if it's not dry. But any wood, if it's not dry, does that.
Right.
Right?
So softwoods do it worse then? I mean, what's the...
I guess so. There's more resin in them. Yeah. I mean, when I burn white pine for maple sugaring because I want a hot, fast fire, I mean, a lot of smoke comes out at first. But once it gets popping, it's like gasoline. It does put out a lot of smoke at first, even though it's dry. But anything that collects on the flue is probably going to be burned off, though, once it gets going.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I would think.
In the evaporator.
I'm talking about in the flue, even.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but we got so many different trees. It's crazy, man. And so what makes good firewood? I mean, there's so many factors, but heat value. Heat value is by density, right? The denser the wood. Because the problem with firewood, unlike oil, is that it's just not an energy-dense fuel. It's volume, right?
Right.
So if you have to lift a piece of firewood, you got to lift it no matter if it's a piece of shagbark hickory, apple, or if it's white birch. So you'd like to get a little denser if you can for firewood. If it's for hot and fast fire like sapwood for maple sugaring, totally different story. Then there's ease of splitting. If you're a hand splitter, this is especially important. Ease of ignition and burning. I learned this year. For example, shagbark hickory is the most dense around. It is actually more dense than anthracite coal for heat value. However, it's a pain in the butt to get going. And it smokes a lot. It's probably all that shaggy bark. It takes forever to get going, too, I find.
Really?
Despite being dry, it'll take a long time to get the temperature where you should shut down your stove and deplete it of oxygen. You got to get the temperatures up to over, I don't know, was it 1,200, 450 degrees, 500 degrees, whatever. You got to get it really, really hot so it's burning those unburned gases. And it takes a while for that to happen.
So what, do you just run it ripping with the...
Yeah, I get it really hot and then gradually shut it down. Always leave a little oxygen, and then if you get it just right with a new stove where they have the baffles on top, circulating stove, you'll get a whole blanket of gas burning flame at the top. That's when you did it just perfect. And then it comes towards the front of the stove and then air washes the glass before going back out. That's when you just did it perfect. We can't always do that. You're in a rush, you gotta go to work, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Just shut it down, go.
If you're doing it wrong, you're having lots of smoke coming out of your chimney. That's wrong. Because why is it wrong? Because that means vapor is escaping out of your chimney, and it's like when you get out of the shower and you're wet. You get cold because the water's taking away your heat.
Right.
As it evaporates. Well, that's what's happening with your wood then. If you got smoke coming out. You know?
Got it.
You shouldn't have any smoke coming out, really.
Yeah, and I mean that's why you don't see smoke when it's just burning red hot coals at the end too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, if you throw a bucket of water on a campfire, all of a sudden starts smoking a lot.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Good point. Yeah. And the water's taking the heat away. Yeah, so should never see smoking. Sparking, yeah, shagbark hickory sparks like crazy. When you open up the damper again and the air, it'll start shooting out of the stove. So that tree's kind of a pain, man. I like black locust much better. It's just as dense, almost just as dense. Doesn't do any of that nonsense.
Ah, so I haven't burned hickory, so I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
about I had a
lot of smooth bark. Is it similar or dense?
I don't know. I don't think it's as dense. Smooth bark hickory and bitter nut hickory and pig nut and all that. But yeah, shag bark. And there was a guy over in Gardner, and he had some big trees he had to take down. So. I had a lot of it.
Yep.
It's pretty heavy. Green. When you're towing it.
Moving it in your truck?
Yeah, I want to say it's over 5,000 pounds.
Wow. Per cord.
A cord.
That's a lot of weight, man.
It's a lot of weight for the little Toyota.
Yep.
It's not bad. Hardwoods versus softwoods. Yeah, hardwoods are usually denser, but not always. I mean, if you're comparing hemlock to sassafras, hemlock's denser for sure.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of a... misnomer, is that the word, John? What am I going for?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Coaling. Yeah, for firewood, you want coals, you know. That gives you a lot of nice heat without the smoke. That's where you're getting a lot of heat from coals. So some hardwoods do it more than others. Ash is like, doesn't leave that many coals, I find.
No.
It's okay.
It burns up. Burns up fast.
But you want that in some of your, like if you have a mixed firewood, that's not bad. You know, you don't want, if you get too many coals, like, this hasn't been a problem in the last few years, but you ever have this where you get so many coals because it's been cold, and now you have, like, a whole stove full of coals?
You got to take a bucket of coals outside.
And because we said that firewood is volume rich, now you have nowhere to put more wood because you need more heat.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the advantage of a front-loading stove. See, in a front-loading stove, you just rake the coals to the top, to the front. Put the air completely open and put one piece of wood horizontally into the firebox and let it burn those coals. Now you're getting heat and it just burns it up. Now you have your volume back in your firebox.
Gotcha.
Yeah. For mock castings, those top loading, that won't happen really as much. But I don't like those stoves because they have too many gaskets. So they were always messing up when we had them at the office.
Hmm.
I don't know. The gaskets are always coming off. I don't know. It has a front door. It's got a top door. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've got one in my garage.
Yeah.
And I rarely use it because I just use it for some supplemental heat if I'm doing something in the garage for a couple hours, like cutting up a deer or something. You know, so it's on like, I don't know, a dozen times
right.
a winter. So you don't really notice these little things you don't like about it. As if it was in the house where it's running every day.
They're aesthetically cool, I guess. That's why some people like them. They're definitely easier. I mean, that thing was easy. You just put the wood in there, and it would start.
Yeah.
You know? Cleaning it out, though, you know, you have to open. You got to clean them out a little more. But you don't get as much dust in the room with the top loading. That's an advantage. But I like the front loading because it's the simplest design.
Yeah, I have a front loading in the house.
Yeah, it is. And once I said, you always just rake the coals to the front. Take ashes out before you do that, and you're done with a front loader. But they are a little messier, for sure. I don't know.
But not a big deal.
Yeah.
I just sweep up. I mean, I have a stone in front, and I just sweep up after I'm done, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Tonight's topic is all about firewood. Heat values for typical Catskill cords. All right, we're going to compare this to fuel oil, because a lot of us are familiar with fuel oil. So if you had a cord, not every cord is equal. I mean, if you got a cord of ash, it's going to be different than a cord of hard maple.
Mm-hmm.
A mix is probably better. I think a mix is always better than solid anything.
Well, at least you can be consistent over the years, right?
Like yeah.
Right now, where I have almost all white ash right now, I'm noticing just like a lot of different things. I'm getting a lot more ash, I think. I've definitely noticed that. I feel like I'm cleaning the stove out more.
Yeah.
I got up in the night, which I shouldn't have to do. I got up in the night when it got 11 degrees out because it was cold. And my wood wasn't lasting all night.
Right.
Which I didn't have to do, you know, when it was 28 degrees. But now that it was 11 degrees, I noticed it. Bedroom is cold.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have to do that last year. Maybe on that couple nights where it was below zero I did. But I shouldn't have to do that at 11 degrees.
That you think it's from species?
I think so. I mean, what else has changed, right? The stove is the same. My season is just as long as everything else. So
yeah.
I feel like if you have a mix, constant mix where you're always doing that, at least you can get used to a routine, right? Nothing's changing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's an advantage.
That has to be. So if you have hickory, ironwood, and apple and oak, those are extremely dense hardwoods. That would be equivalent to 127 gallons of fuel oil. Like I said before, hickory and oak rival anthracite coal. A cord of beech, sugar maple, yellow birch, and white ash. These are like medium hardwoods, although beech, I'd say, and sugar maple are more on the more dense side. That's about 115 gallons of fuel oil. I think beech is probably one of the best firewoods there is.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm definitely. I'm splitting it now, and I'm falling in love with it again. I haven't burned it since 2013.
One advantage beech has over sugar maple and red oak or white oak is that it's just as dense, but only has to season for one season. That's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. And beech is like 99% of them die from beech bark disease anyway. So there's a lot of beech in the mountains. Let's see. So gray birch, paper birch, cherry, red maple. These are less dense. About 99 gallons of fuel oil. So it, you, just to, for a comparison, just showing you that, you know, it doesn't make a difference. Proper seasoning. This is probably maybe the most important thing.
This is probably the most messed up thing, I would say.
No doubt.
Seasoning.
Yeah, how so?
We get calls to our office quite often this time of year. Well, where can I get a cord of wood? And it's like, good luck. I mean, you can get a cord of wood, but it's probably going to be green. And even the people that are advertising, you know, semi-dry or maybe seasoned, I don't know if anybody's advertising fully seasoned, but it's not that dry. What a lot of people are measuring off of is like, well, I cut that tree or the log pile's been sitting there a year, right?
Yeah.
And then they go cut the log pile and then deliver it to you. Well, it might as well have just been standing yesterday. There's just as much water still in the tree. It doesn't dry out through the bark, it only dries out through the end. So if it's log length, it's full of water.
Yep.
So
it only dries, from what I researched it, you get over 4 feet and nothing dries.
Yeah.
You know,
I notice it running the portable sawmill all the time. I'll cut logs that have been down for 2 or 3 years, and then you run your hands over top of the boards, and you feel the moisture coming out of them.
Sure.
So that says a lot, right?
Yep.
So, you know, if anybody's looking for, I know it's happening because people are calling us asking. So it's happening a lot. You gotta season your wood. You gotta get ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah.
Have that wood a couple of years in advance in some cases, depending on the species you're burning.
Best wood's the wood you got, but you're basically maybe getting half the heat value, or you're paying twice as much for the same heat if you have unseasoned wood.
Yep.
Definition of seasoned wood, it's 20% moisture content. They do make moisture meters you can put on the ends of pieces of firewood. But, you know, you look for cracks, browning, stuff like that. Sounds, you know, if it clinks, it's pretty good. It
sounds like a bowling pin.
Yeah.
You're getting there.
The final proof is, are you getting a lot of sizzling coming out of the firewood?
Right.
I mean, sometimes when you know, it's not covered properly, I'll even get that once in a while, but it's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
If you got seasoned firewood, you should be able to light your wood with a newspaper. You should not need kindling. I haven't used kindling ever. I don't use kindling. Just take a piece of newspaper, roll it from one corner to the far corner, tie a bow tie, do that about 7 times, and put it in the middle of at least 3 pieces of firewood, and it will light if it's dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have to have kindling, something's wrong. That's my opinion.
The 3 pieces is a big piece of advice, too.
3 pieces. Gotta have 3.
Gotta have at least 3 pieces to get the fire going.
Yeah.
You can't just throw some paper on it, maybe some kindling, and throw 1 piece on, or 2.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. It's gotta trap that heat under it and ignite everything around it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the heat escapes, your flame escapes, and it just sizzles out.
You want to know what my son calls, like, coals or, you know, coals and stuff that come out of the fire?
Yeah, what?
Fire crumbs.
Fire crumbs.
Fire crumbs.
Well, I guess kids can relate to crumbs.
That's funny. So, yeah, proper seasoning is extremely important. Also, for safety, of course, you're getting creosote on the inside of the flue, which can become flammable and burn your house down. So, something to think
Nobody
about.
Wants that.
Nobody wants that. I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, creosote's no joke, man. You know? So.
Yeah, I talked to a firefighter. He said this time of year is when a lot of chimney fires happen because people have been smoldering a lot of wood, turning their wood stoves way too down.
Yeah.
You know, that wet wood in the beginning or whatever. And now that it's getting cold, they open them right up, and that's when that creosote ignites. So watch out. If you get some creosote, maybe it's time to clean your chimney before these cold temperatures come.
Yeah, mild days is when firewood is more of a challenge to be efficient because you want to, you know, you don't want to overheat the house. So what you can do is add less wood, have a small hot fire, and then damp down. If you have access to lighter density woods, that'd be even better, like aspen. On a mild day, it's perfect, you know.
Or let your fire go out.
Yeah, let it go out. So yeah. What? Build a new one. If you got dry wood, it doesn't matter.
I know a guy. I know a guy. He's. I'm not gonna say it. I know a guy.
I know a guy.
He says he waits until November 1st. To light any wood fires in the house.
Yeah.
And I said, what happens if it's cold in October? He goes, well, I just have a cold house in October.
Jeez.
He does that because typically they're going to have, throughout the week in October, some of the days of the week are going to be warm where you don't really need a fire, at least not in the middle of the day. He only lights a fire because he doesn't let the fire die until March.
It's the eternal flame.
November through March is the eternal winter flame. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's, you've got to be roasting the people out of your house some days.
Well, you got to be damping down a lot and smoking a ton.
Right, exactly.
And fire goes out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a mile. If it's getting up in the 50s, my fire's going out. It's okay. I mean, usually there's always a fire crumb or two that I can reignite the fire. But if there's not, no big deal. Take some newspaper.
Yeah.
You know? There's plenty of good newspapers out there that are perfect for burning.
Right. Sap season, March, it's like you get good at lighting fires then.
Oh, yeah.
It's constant every night.
Yeah. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. So air pollution is going to be more with particulates, especially if you're damping down and you're getting smoke and the wood's not seasoned properly. So seasoning tips, order early. You know, as one guy said that does firewood, the cutting and processing is on me. The seasoning is on you. So, yeah. Again, firewood is extremely volume rich. So a lot of people just don't have the space or the time or the labor to properly season the wood for you.
Yeah, anybody that's advertising selling firewood, they're probably selling more than 50 cords or 100 cords a year.
Yeah.
So imagine them having to store 100 cords. They don't have the facility space to do this. To get a year ahead to sell you seasoned wood, so it's just not happening.
Well, now that you mentioned it, what's a cord again? We should probably cover that.
Oh, so the volume measurement of a cord,
yeah,
is a 4 foot wide stack, 4 feet tall, 8 feet long. So what is it, 128 cubic feet?
128 cubic feet.
Oof, I remember.
No matter how you measure it, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. You can have it a 12 foot tall stack. It's just not going to be as long.
So if you get your wood and you're going to season it, put it on pallets or off the ground. Otherwise, think of wood as a sponge. It'll wick moisture from the ground into it. You don't want that. Just cover the top. I have to be very careful on how I cover wood because I have a lot of wind. So I've tried everything. And it blows away. It got to the point where my wife was like, oh, you should build a thing to store your wood in. My neighbor did that, and that blew away. I said, look at that guy's woodshed. It literally blew down. So, and then metal roofing, everything, it just all blows away. So, for me, what I found is, people are going to laugh at this maybe, but is down the road from me is a stream, and unfortunately, people throw their garbage in it. Whenever you find a steep bank, there's always like people throwing garbage in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And there was green carpeting there. Green, man. Nice color. All right. And it was perfectly cut into sections that were like 8 feet long and about, I don't know, 4 feet wide.
Well, yeah, they had to fit it in their pickup truck.
Exactly.
To take it over the bank.
Yeah, good point. So I got those and brought them back. And let me tell you, carpeting is one of the best ways to cover firewood because it forms to the top. The bottom of the carpeting is waterproof enough to keep out most of the moisture, And if it's green, it blends in even more, which makes it super awesome.
Matches the drapes, so your wife's happy.
Yeah, man.
Holy cow.
I love it. And if it blew away somehow, it can't damage anything. It's carpet.
Cool. So
it doesn't blow away. Once in a while, it'll flip over on itself, and I'll just put a rock over it or something. But, yeah.
Well, crack the code. That's nice.
I guess. I stole it from another guy. I saw what he was doing at this house in Claryville, and said, I'm going to do that.
Nice.
But, so, that's one way. There's all sorts of ways you can cover firewood.
Yeah. I have a heavy tarp, like one of those really thick cover machinery with.
Yeah.
You know, really thick ones. But I stack right against the side of my garage. Two reasons. One, it's the faces west, southwest, perfectly. So it gathers so much heat in the summer months. The side of that tin, it's a tin building.
Yeah.
Pole barn. And it just bakes that firewood. So it helps dry it out.
That makes sense. Instead of putting it in a dark forest.
Yeah, right? So it really dries out that wood, but also it's a wind block. So tarp works great for me. I don't have to, like you said, every now and then the corner's flipped up, but that's it.
That's about it, yeah. Tarps work for most people. Tin roofing is great for most people.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yeah, tin roofing is good. Most roofers are just throwing it away, or it's a hassle to take it and get rid of it. So, you know, someone redoing a roof, you could probably get a hold of that for free.
Oh, yeah. I got to get 3 years ahead on wood. I have 3 years gone out, and the wood that is going to be burned in 3 years is in rounds.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is it's blocked up, or it's cut into firewood length, but it's still round, right?
Yeah.
That's off to the side. That's on the ground. I don't care about it wicking a little moisture on that. It's going to get split up anyway. After whatever I burn this season, I'll split rounds to fill what I burned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it goes. And then whatever I fill from whatever I burn this year, that pile won't get burned for 2 years. And then the other pile alternate, that'll be burned this coming winter.
Gotcha.
So that's how it goes, man. And then sapwood, that's a completely different pile. Sapwood for maple sugaring is all species that burn hot and fast.
Yep.
Hemlock, sassafras, white pine, let me see, catalpa, black walnut, yeah, box elder if you have it. Around here, box elder's pretty good. That stuff's like a pillow once it's dry.
Nice. I've got Norway spruce, white pine, and aspen this year.
White pine and aspen are probably, I think, the two best.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That stuff's heavy, man, aspen, when it's wet. And then it dries, it loses so much moisture, it's crazy. I think when I looked it up, aspen loses more moisture than just about any other tree through seasoning.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It feels feather-like when you pick it up.
Oh, when I pull it in my truck, it does not like it. And then once it's dry, it's amazing. Right?
Yep.
But
well, this time of year is when I have a couple firewood lots, right? You go cut wood in. I cut my trees right now, and I usually don't touch them, but now I am because there's no snow and it's easy to get to, and, you know, what else am I doing? So I'm not maple sugaring yet. So I cut my trees. The deer love them. You know, they're hungry this time of year, eating buds, tree buds. I cut my red maple down, and they devour them.
Yeah.
I give back to them after I've hunted them for 2 months straight.
Jesus. After you've harassed them for 2 months?
And I split them. I split it right there. I block it. I split it right in the woods. And I make little stacks, little piles. Nothing neat because this is this is next year's wood. I don't care. It's not like it's going to be sitting there long. And it can sit there for months before I get it. And sometimes I go with the pickup truck. Sometimes I go with a four-wheeler, take the dog for a run, right? And I just come home with, you know, the wood, a little bit of wood.
Yeah.
And then I just do that. And it happens over 20 to 30-minute spans, but fairly constantly, you know, every few days. And all of a sudden, my wood's done. I like think about it like, oh, my wood's done and been done. I got to stop now.
Yeah. That's nice. You
so,
know?
Like, I try to not make it a big event because I see people who, like, they buy a triaxle load of logs.
Yeah.
It sits in their driveway, and it drives them insane. So they just spend the whole weekend cutting and splitting a triaxle load of logs.
Yeah, and if you haven't been doing anything like that, now your body is like, well, what are you doing, pal?
And it just became this miserable experience that everyone dreads doing firewood, and that's how it happens. And, you know, there's ways to make it so you don't even think about doing it. It just happens.
Well, the show flew by. We are out of time. And if you missed it, it was all about firewood with Ryan and John on From the Forest. And see you next week.
Good night.
Good night. The face of one so dear who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year when the wildflowers did.